Please stand for the reading of the word. I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. Ecclesiastes 4, verse number 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. So it's good to have somebody near you, somebody with you, somebody together. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So it talks about standing with each other. Lord, we thank you for your word. We're grateful for it. We ask your anointing and blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would you also turn to Exodus, the third chapter, please? God speaks to Moses, and he wants Moses to deliver the children of Israel. He's heard their cry. And Exodus chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So what he is saying is, I am everything that you would ever need. I'm your healer, I'm your comfort, I'm your provider, I'm your protection. I am your peace, I am your savior. I am. And then if you'll turn to Joshua, chapter 1. And verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all of the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give thee. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, this is a promise to Joshua, leading a people into a land of promise. But these promises, folks, every place we go is ours. God is saying, be of good cheer. Be courageous. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Follow the law. I want to give you things, but you're going to have to do what I'm telling you to do. Don't allow your feelings to change the law. Don't allow your feelings or your fear cause you to compromise. Too often when we have challenges in life where God calls us to go forward and do something, we perceive that we are to accomplish or overcome all by ourselves. And there's a pitfall for Christians because we think we have to do it by ourselves. The misconception is that we should have the ability to do it all on our own. Of one of the greatest attributes of a leader is surrounding them with talented and competent people. That if any of the Fortune 500 companies in this world have any kind of success, they know that one person can't do it. They have to find competent, reliable people in order to help them build something. In the businesses that I owned, I realized that I had to hire people who were going to be effective, always looking for people who had abilities that I didn't have. And so what you need to do is surround yourself with people that, you know what, I have trouble praying. Maybe you ought to find yourself a prayer partner who really wants to pray. You know, find somebody that really gets with the worship and maybe stand next to them and worship with them. It's true in the church. We need each other to complement our deficits. We are a body of believers to function together as a team rather than individuals that simply gather ourselves together. Leadership is to lead the body of believers, but if people don't feel like they are a part of the body, we can't lead them anyplace. And so you can't just come into this place, feel like you're an individual, get what you can by yourself without attaching yourself as a team, because this church really is a team. Would you turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter? Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So not everybody has the same gift and not everybody has the same potential. But you see, together, God's going to build a church. How? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what it's saying is we all have to work together and function together in order to be the body. And if we're fragmented, well, we're just not going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. I get calls all the time from friends of mine that are pastors asking, what did you do in this situation? What did you do in that situation? We're about to build, and so I know you went through it. How can I gain from your experience? What did you do? Did they think that they were incompetent? No, they're just understanding that I need more information than I have. They need advice in an area that they're not familiar with. Some just call to get some encouragement. And we call each other just to encourage one another. You're going through something. You're going through an operation. You're going through a difficult time. You lost a job. Somebody encourages you because that's what a body. It's better to have two when one falleth. Jesus said in John 14 and 8, I will not leave you comfortless, for I will come unto you. Especially when you need comfort. Where would any of us be without God's anointing and reassurance from time to time? I am so grateful for people who will accompany the unsaved to Bible studies that I teach, because what it is it's a project. It's not just one person. It's a joint effort of prayer, fasting, and faithfulness. And I'm so grateful for every ministry within this church. And there are so many ministries that contribute to the whole of the body, whether it's Sunday school or Power Hour, children's church, youth ministries, outreach, music, Bible studies, and on and on and on. And just the very fact that somebody sees somebody and wants to encourage them instead of discouraging them, you know, a word of encouragement can go so far. Every witness, together we reach the lost and stay strong, and that's what God wants the church to do. Would you turn to Exodus, the 18th chapter? Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 17. It says, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the things that thou doest is not good. All right. That's my father-in-law coming, telling me that I'm not doing the things that I really should do. And how do you handle that? Is there some deficits within your life that maybe somebody could say, you know what? If I were you, you know, not like a bull in a china shop, you know. It's saying, you know, God, how can I minister to somebody without offending somebody? You see something in their life and you know, you can either slap them or, you know, it's a sword can either feed somebody or hurt somebody. This is our sword. It's all about how you present it. Okay, 17, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the things that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God, Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all of the people able men, which as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burdens with thee. Now, He's saying, you know, you're going to kill yourself trying to handle all of this. You know what? You need to trust. You need to distribute. You need to allow other people to help you. I cannot teach all the Bible studies that need to be taught in Racine. Can't do it. I can't even counsel everybody that's even in this church, but there are a lot of people who have been living for God for a long, long time. No matter what level in our walk with God, we need to realize that we are not alone in what we are trying to accomplish. You can't do it by yourself. Then nothing would be held from us if we included everyone. Genesis 11 and 6 refers to the building of the Tower of Babel, and it says this, "And the Lord said, behold, the people is one." Now, that's not just bad language. This is demonstrating that the people are so united that I look at them as one, and they have all one language. Do we speak one language? You know? "And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them where they have imagined to do." And that's what God wants for our church, for every church, that we is one, you know. And now nothing that we imagine that we could do, that we could fill this place, we could see greater miracles, you know, but it's all about being one. Husbands and wives that are in agreement are a mighty force, a mighty force. When I was in the military, we all walked in cadence, and before you ever even picked up a rifle, you had to learn how to march together, all at the same rhythm, all on the same foot. Everyone had a part in a mission, and all knew what their part was, and there was support teams, whether it's medical or fire support or logistics. Everybody knew that, you know what, if we needed help, we could get some help at any time. And the church needs to understand, I don't have to do this on my own. I can get some help, you see. There is always people behind you. And if this church could just grasp this concept, it's not just a your battle, it's everybody's battle. Amen. You know, and if you mess with me, well, you mess with everybody. If you mess with you, you mess with everybody. Instead of being divided, we need to be united. We need to have the vision of Elijah's servant. As he looked and saw that the Syrian army surrounded, he was so frightened that Elijah said, open his eyes to see. And all of a sudden, he could see that there were more angels than there were Syrians, and now he's calm because he's got some support logistics, you know? He's got some firepower that's around him. And if God would just open our eyes, this may not look like a packed out place tonight, but it's a packed out place tonight, because where else are angels going to go on a Wednesday night in Racine? They're coming here, and you probably have two angels per person, see? The servant needed to know he was not alone in this fight, and the Lord wanted Joshua to know that he was not alone in what he was being sent to do, because if he thought he was going to do it by himself, he would never have accomplished it. He told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee as well. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Our church is so great in that saints minister to each other, words of encouragement, meals at a time of sickness, and people giving and encouraging. I happen to look at a little envelope on the back counter tonight as I was came in, and it said, to the sweet lady who gave me this wonderful gift anonymously, this is for you. Well, I don't know who that sweet lady was, but somebody appreciated what that sweet lady did for her, and we should have an epidemic of that. That's right, you know? Because all of a sudden, you know, they're going to be praying for you. They're going to be trying to, you know, it becomes contagious. I said it Sunday, some stranger in front of me at Starbucks paid for my coffee the other day. And I wish I could have caught up to them somehow or found out who they were, you know. But it brings something, a benevolence within you that says, I want to do something for somebody else. It can start something going, you see. They all say, you're not alone. Every time somebody gives a little gift to somebody or a meal, it's not just your battle. It's all of us together. How is it we believe God is with us when we're having one of those blowout song services? And yet when things go wrong, we make the mistake that God just disappears. You know, where is he when I have trouble? Same God, same place. Would you turn to Judges, the 6th chapter, please? Verse number 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was at Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You know, if the Lord is with us, why is this happening? That's sometimes the question that a lot of people have. And God is still saying, I'm with you. Gideon was hiding behind the wine press. What is the wine press? It is the past rejections, past guilt, past mistakes. Too many people are hiding behind the wine press when they should be coming out and fighting the fight. They don't feel that they have the knowledge, the skills, the abilities, or even God behind them. Oh, if I graduated from Bible school, if I just knew more scripture, if I was more familiar with the Bible, yet those are not a prerequisites of doing God's work. In fact, the most people who come into the church are by new converts who know nothing about Scripture. They just have an experience, you see. The credentials and the power is in the name of Jesus and the Spirit that is within us. In Acts, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, they perceived that Peter and John were ignorant men, but they had been with Jesus. So, you know, when you get to the place where you spend more time with Jesus, it doesn't matter what your education is. I believe the reason why most saints are so fearful is that they're afraid that they're not going to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. How will I look to other people in and out of the church? But It is the joint effort. No one person gets the blame and no one person gets the credit. See, when we're doing something like what we're doing on this Sunday, is going to be one person who's going to get the credit or one person who gets the blame. We're doing it all for the benefit of the church, for God. We're doing it so God is well pleased, and that's really our audience. Amen. You see? You don't have to be like any other preacher. Don't have to be like any other teacher. I've seen people try to emulate somebody else who was a great preacher, and they went into the same gyrations that they did. And just if you could just be transparent and let them see God through you, you know. And that's the most effective saint. It's the most effective way, anyway. We must get out of behind our own wine press, thou mighty man of valor. Are you kidding? You're calling me God? You know I'm hiding back here because I'm afraid of the Midianites, and he calls me mighty man of valor. Some feel they can never minister to the lost because someone will bring up their past. Every great Bible character had some sordid past. Everyone. Even the greatest. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So he's saying, you know what? I am the least qualified, and yet he did more than anybody else in the entire Bible, knowing that he's the least of the apostles. Paul brought believers to prison and made havoc of them in the church, according to Acts 8 and 3, but later God showed him, when you are weak, then you're strong. So, qualified. Moses can't speak. Okay, I'm going to pick you. If you read the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, you will see that everyone mentioned made mistakes in some way or another. Every one of them didn't do well, but they overcame the obstacles. They overcame their weakness. They overcame their inabilities in order to allow God to shine through. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." It kind of covers it all, you know? All of the problems that people have and continue to have in this world. Have you found your category? "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So God say, I know you. I can see what you're involved. I can see your inadequacies. I can see your weaknesses. I can read your thoughts, but I've justified you. I've sanctified you. I washed it up. And it doesn't matter what people think, and it certainly doesn't matter what you think, because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I have given you my strength. I have given you my knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God has cleared your name, not so you could just go to heaven, but so you could function and be productive for Him, Amen. His kingdom. I get afraid that we get so comfortable with what we have that we forget about what we experienced from the very beginning and what other people need to experience. I feel this so heavily because this has got to be a soul-saving station. It just can't be a place where we park, you know? And we are mighty men of valor, mighty women of valor. And God's saying, I'm going to go with you. It's not like He's sending us out there all by ourselves without the power in order to do what He has asked us to do. He wouldn't ask us to pray for the sick if He wasn't willing to heal. He wouldn't ask us to, you know, go deliver people from all kinds of habits if He wasn't going to turn the power over to us to do that. He has enrolled us in His cause to the saving of them that are lost. No excuse because of our past, thou mighty man and woman of valor. Don't allow your past mistakes to keep you behind the winepress. I wasn't born in this thing, and I don't know if it doesn't matter. You were born of His kingdom, you see. We're not perfect, but we're forgiven. And God has taken every excuse away from us so we could deliver His people from the hands of the enemy. We don't do that alone. We do it as a team. It's where the church begins and where the church finishes. In unity. Would you stand with me? I don't know what was going through the mind of Gideon, because every year at the same time he was attacked the same way. And now he's just trying to survive. God has not called us to survive, but to be victors, to excel. And I feel so strongly that this Sunday is going to see some revival. And I believe that God has prepared hearts for us to approach. We've got it all. You know, we have a beautiful building. We have ministries in this church that are outstanding. That's a blessing of God. But the greatest thing that we have is we've got the presence of God Almighty in this place. If they don't hear a thing, if they don't see a thing, let them feel the awesome Shekinah glory of God in this place and know that there is a God that is real and wants to reach out to them. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just setting the stage for the guest of honor. Let him come to the front. Amen. And do what he does best. If he could do it for me, he could do it for somebody else as well. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come, please?